One of our favorite things that pulled us through the last year was Sherry Vine and Jackie Beat's parodies of sitcoms as if they had taken place during the COVID pandemic. They were such a hit. Sherry Vine's back with her Twisted Sisters bringing the laughs and cornball musical numbers with a Sherry Vine variety show on Out TV.
Inspired by the great TV variety shows of the 1970s, Sherry Vine and director John Mark update the format with raucous comedy, show-stopping musical numbers, hilarious sketches, and more.
Lots more. Today, Sherry Vine joins us to take a look at our favorite primetime TV variety shows from the 70s and how they inspired her to bring to life the Sherry Vine Variety Show.
Who can forget Cher and Tina Turner setting the stage on fire in the Cher Show? Paul Lynde scowling on the Donnie and Marie Christmas special, or the Brady Bunch Kids disco medley with Charo.
Plus, how Sherry helped Lady Gaga launch her career.
And how she convinced Jackie Beat to embrace her youthful self.
I'm Fausto Ferno.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hello?
Is this Sherry Vine, star of the Sherry Vine Variety Show?
Hi, Borsch. What's going on?
We're happy to talk to you.
I'm gonna happy to talk to you. It's been a minute.
It's been 7 months since the last time you were on. You were on a game show, Supermarket Sweet Sweeps,
with
your
right,
gal pal, Jackie Beat, and you lost by 37 cents.
Isn't that crazy? Is it? God, it's already been 7 months. That is.
I know. It was 37 cents, right?
It was like, actually, honestly, it was 18 cents.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh.
Criminal.
Honey,
criminal. Yeah. Robbed.
Honey, eight. But the funny thing is, I've become friends with that couple that won. They have two kids. They live 5 minutes from me. I've been to their house.
Wow.
They're so cool.
Are you slowly like stealing things to make that $10,000?
I've stolen 18 cents worth of shit from their house.
Every time they serve you a drink, you're like, that should have been my Snapple.
Sherry, you're living in Palm Springs. It's 119 degrees today, right?
I live in Burbank.
Burbank? I thought you lived in Palm Springs.
That's so funny. Someone yesterday said that, like, oh, I can't believe you came into the city from Palm Springs. I'm like, I don't live in Palm Springs.
She's not that old.
I'm not that old or rich, honey.
So it's not 119 degrees where you live?
It's 99.
Oh.
But you know what?
That's not too bad.
Fucking love it. I never complain about the heat because I love it. There's no humidity, so it's very different than a 99 in New York City.
Right, because that's oppressive, that humidity.
That's horrible, because you can't do anything to cool off. You're just soaking wet. And here, it's like, it's hot. I mean, it is hot, but there's no humidity. It cools off at night. I love it. I mean, I can sit outside in this weather and just read, and I'm perfectly comfortable.
Hey, Sherry, are you using speakerphone?
Yes, is that, do you prefer not?
I told you not to use speakerphone.
Honey, I don't read anything.
That's better. Oh, yeah. See, I like this difference because it's more intimate. It's like we're in bed together whispering things to each other.
So, oh, my God. You're so kinky.
So you're out in the heat and you're reading people. Is that what you're doing? Just as they come by, you're just like.
I sit in the front yard on my lawn chair reading people as they walk by. And they're like, Queen, you shouldn't be wearing that Speedo. Don't come for me.
You know what? Doing research for the podcast, I was like, let me see what Sherry's up to. So I start typing your name into Google search, and it wants to autofill to Sherry Vinegar. And I was just like,
I know.
That's kind of appropriate.
Well, I'll take that over Sherry Pie.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Do you still get that little confusion there for the Sherry Pies?
I don't, but people do, yes, because I'll see, like, Alaska or someone will post something and they're like, why are you hanging out with Sherry Pie?
We're making videos with hot guys.
Yeah, it's just like, girl, come
well,
on.
Well, so are you skeptical when a casting agent reaches out to you? Because I had one reach out to me recently and I was kind of like, all right, Sherry, whatever your name is. Allison Mossy, nice try.
I don't think, first of all, no one No one is requesting nude videos of pictures of me. Okay. If someone did, I would gladly send it. But no, that doesn't.
You don't
that didn't
know
happen
that
when I was a teenager. I mean, that's just those things didn't. Whatever.
See, that you're officially on television, the game is changing. Television is such a powerful force. There are forums, of course, I follow them, that have Rue Girls nude photos posted, and it's torture porn, really, what it is.
For you or for them?
For me. They're pushing.
Look, hello. I'm like, if someone wants to see a naked 50-year-old queen, great. I'm just tell me where to send it. But no.
Most of your action is as you dress as a girl, though, when you pick up men, don't you? Has that game changed?
Yes. No, not really. I mean, I have one special friend that I see every couple of weeks. I don't have to get in drag for, and that's really fun. But otherwise, no. I mean, I'm not dating, and I'm just like, when I'm not dating, I like to kind of hoard up. I was very good during Corona. It was only just probably recently where I started being like, I'm ready to be a whore again.
Is it like riding a bike, you just jump back into it? Or is it like, or did you have a little trepidation? You're like, is this guy back?
It's kind of like riding it's exactly like riding a bike. You have to start off, though, on training wheels and work your way back up to a one seat. But yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, during the heights of people's depression during the coronavirus pandemic lockdown was a ray of light, a light at the dark end of a long tunnel. And that was you and your gal pal, Jackie Beat, making these wonderful sitcom parodies. Then you posted them on social media.
Oh, thank you. Oh my God. They saved us. I mean, literally, we were just like, what the fuck are we going to do? Like with our time, and just wanted to stay creative, and we were like, let's do these. We did the Golden Girls, and it was such a hit that we were like, oh, we need to do more of these. And then we just kind of like puttered out of that. It actually cost money to make, and we weren't getting, you know, generating any income. So it just kind of like got tired, but it was super fun and gave us something to do. And I did tons of new parodies and video. I mean, until I started working on the variety show, I was constantly working on a video, like all the time, or a show or something. And then once we really had to kind of buckle down with the variety show, that kind of came to a halt.
Well, and you guys did this during the pandemic.
Yeah, we filmed in, I spent all last summer writing. Mm-hmm. And then we started pre-production the beginning of September, and then we started filming the end of October into November, actually into December, because it was very difficult to film during Corona, but it was also, on one hand, it was difficult, but it was difficult for everybody, so I'm not going to complain about Corona. And number two, it also actually gave us a little bit of freedom. For instance, like at one point they were like, why don't we wait until next year, meaning now, to film when things are a little bit better? And I'm like, no. I said, the minute these bitches can get on a plane, I'm not going to be able to get them. Let's do this right now while everybody is home and bored. And it worked, you know. Whatever. Everyone, I mean,
a lot of other people were doing television. Certainly, we filmed a little thing for Teen Mom OG way back in October. Was it September?
It was Teen Mom
television
show.
Television was in production. I'm sure you guys took some safety precautions. I don't think we had vaccines out yet, but you know, certainly you can mask and you test and you can do your thing and you isolate.
We didn't have the vaccine yet, but we had to follow very strict protocol. Like we had a big chunk of the budget ultimately went to hiring, because you had to have a COVID officer on set the entire time, and then all the supplies, and we were only allowed to have a certain number of people. So you know, there were a lot of people that I would love to have had be a part of the show that I just couldn't, because I was like, oh, we've got 8 people, that's it,
And who was your COVID officer? Was that Jackie Beat? She's like, wear your mask. Put your mask back
walking
on.
Around spraying alcohol.
No, it had to be someone who cares about other people. So it was not Jackie.
Oh my God.
I have to say, I'm so impressed with Jackie's neck lift. I'm just like, she looks fantastic. How jealous are you that she looks good now?
I'm happy for her because I was the one who said for years, I was like, get some Botox, stop wearing those headbands. She wears we used to wear all those headbands just to cover her forehead. I'm like, bitch, get some motherfucking Botox. I forced her to go to the guy that does my Botox, Dr. Jeff Olson. And I took her and Joey Arias, who was in town, and the three of us went and all got pumped up. And then she was addicted.
Pump it up. Pumping party.
She was addicted. Oh, God, no, not silicone, okay. No. Just Botox. But I'm envious, and I think in a couple of years, I will probably have to do something similar. Probably not as extreme. but I have to do something.
I always tell young queers too, because you and I are around the same age, I think, and I think my skin looks pretty good. I try and stay out of the sun, but it's like it's the neck where I see some little visible signs of aging. Uh-huh. So I'm just kind of I'm always with the bandana now. I'm like Fred from Scooby Doo with my ascots, because I'm just like, you don't protect the neck, because that's the area that's going to show it the most.
Well, that's what Paul Lynde and Charles Nelson Reilly did, right? Yeah. Scarves. That's what they were doing at the time.
Well, you know,
scarves, ascots.
Yeah. And I'm always trying to research, how do you stay young? How do you look good? You know, what do you do for visuals? And so I Google, what do you do for visual signs of, aging on the neck? And then, you know what the number one thing that that pops up is? Wear a turtleneck.
Well, you know, you see lots of it's very Diane Keaton, these women that wear the turtlenecks, yes.
Well, so the turtlenecks, then the bangs, and then the hair close to the face, and the glasses, so you just a little tiny amount of flesh.
Totally. But no, Jackie looks amazing, and I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to see her doctor when I'm ready. Mm.
So you have a TV, an actual television show on Apple. I guess it's on the Out TV app on Apple TV Plus.
Yes. It's a little, it's a little, not complicated. It's a little bit of involvement to get to watch it in the United States. You have to download the Out TV app onto Apple Plus, and then you can watch it in the United States. So it's easier in Canada and the UK. They don't have to do as many steps, but in the United States, yes, that is the way to watch it. And I just hope that people, take the time to do it, because I think it's worth it. I mean, Out TV is only like $3.99 a month or whatever, but, and they've got amazing program and lots of stuff coming, like Alaska's doing something, Bob the Drag Queen, Katya, a lot of the girls are doing stuff on Out TV. So people who are fans of drag will be happy.
It's the discount version of World of Wonder Plus, which is the discount
version.
World of
Wonder is only $3 a month.
Yeah, with the bottom lining it. Hey, listen,
So what do you do? Because we do have a lot of listeners in Canada and the UK. So what's the process like for that?
Well, in Canada, everyone has Out TV, I think, is part of their cable package, kind of like how we have MTV or VH1. So I know that it's easy for people to watch. And Out TV is actually very big in Canada. So people in Canada can watch it on Out TV or outtv.com, only in Canada. In the UK and Ireland, they can watch it on Fruit TV. It's coming. That's what it's called. It's coming to Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa sometime in July. And then that info will be posted. And then, like I said, the United States is Apple TV. Sadly, it's not available in Europe yet or whatever. People have to find a way to stream it. I know people have been, but
there's
I
a way
can't
they can
suggest
do those
anything.
VPNs or something. They hide where they get it from and hit the app.
Allegedly.
They know people that know how to do that stuff know how to do it,
Of course, totally.
But we don't want anybody to break any laws. So.
No, of course not.
Well, that's the cool thing about it is that, a lot of the things that you do harken back to this golden age where celebrities, when they were out of a job and needed some work, they got on these variety shows and started singing, right, dancing and cracking jokes. And like Mark and I are obsessed like you with a lot of these golden age shows, especially the Sonny and Cher variety hour and yes, the Beatrice Arthur hour, the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
I've seen that. Which, do you know who wrote that?
Of course, our good friend Bruce and common Bruce Valanche. And we asked him about it. He said everybody's queer and everybody's high on marijuana, which, you know, goes to show that you guys are recreating the formula.
Honey, the only drugs on my set are Boniva. That's it.
What? Oh, is that like for a bone?
That's for
IBS
or something.
Irritable bowel syndrome. You know, Linda Carter was a spokesperson for that.
What is? Or,
so when she spun around one day, started flying.
Wonder Woman. You're crazy. No, I mean, it's total.
Now she's telling me that I'm going too far.
The with Scat shit Queen jokes herself.
And you know, we've talked about before. Yes. We've known each other forever. Yeah. How obsessed I am with Carol Burnett and everything. Kind of that was my biggest influence. And so I did. I spent all summer writing these six episodes, and it doesn't look like it, but I did. And I really did watch tons of Carol Burnett and the Sonny and Cher and the Cher show, which is sickening gorgeous, and the Barbara Mandrell sisters, like all of those variety shows, just to kind of get ideas. So the format is nothing new, but I think that we were able to kind of do a mashup of that homage mixed with my stupid, dumb sensibility. And I just hope people like the show. I think it looks good. Yeah. And I think it looks expensive, let's say, you know, and everyone knows kind of like what the budget usually is for these types of shows. And so I think John Mark, the director, did a gorgeous job. It looks very cinematic. And the musical numbers.
It was all filmed on an iPhone 5S, right? there was a movie that was filmed, Tangerine.
Tangerine, I know.
It looked good. You it couldn't even tell. Good. You could not even tell.
No, we were lucky. We got a red camera, and so it does look very expensive.
A red iPhone,
but, you know,
7?
A red iPhone. And these, a red flip note phone. But, you know, we had to, like, we only had two locations. Everything else was shot in some different space at PEG. And so I think the fact that we could transform one office building into like 20 sets was kind of impressive. And of course, then the cast, you know, we've got like the biggest names in drag in the world, and luckily they're friends and they said yes for a lot less than what they would probably normally get paid. And everyone did it for fun. We just like laughed our asses off.
I heard you paid them in Chipotle coupons.
They wish. They would have been happy.
Yeah, but I saw this one special, the Donnie and Marie Christmas special, that had Paul Lynde as a guest star. And Paul Lynde's like, look at all these Mormons. They make me sick. And, you know, and they're all like wholesome, sweet, very Christian. Mm-hmm. And then Paul Lynde comes in almost like the Wicked Witch in Wizard of Oz, you know, and spoils on them. And Donnie and Marie are like, oh, Uncle Paul, you're so wacky. It, you know, and they put it like him in a trash can lid and put a firecracker in. And
I think Bruce told us, too, is like when they were filming those kinds of things, because he worked on that show, too, that he and Paul Lynde used to go out to the gay bars in Provo, Idaho,
Utah.
And he's always, I'm not going to tell you any stories from that night right now. Those are saved for a later date.
So. Ooh, yeah. Donnie getting his dick sucked in the toilet.
No, I think it was just him and Paul, because, you know, Paul was a wild drinker.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. Like, did you guys ever think about having a fish out of water in your scene? Like, as somebody who's really square.
I can't say fish anymore, Fausto.
But somebody who's very square or very conservative, like coming in and being a guest star in the Sherry Vine variety hour.
No, I mean, this one literally This season, literally, like I said, we didn't have a budget to fly people around. We really worked with people that were here. We had we could only have like 10 people, cast and crew combined at a time. So I was like, you know what? I want to work with my friends, period. I'm not going after, I didn't ask Alaska or Bianca to be in it because they're big names, but that was not my main reason. It was because they're my friends. And I'm like, I know we're going to have fun. It's going to be intense because it's like, we had to shoot 6 sketches with Bianca in one day. So I'm like, this is going to be like running around, kind of intense. But I know that we're just going to be laughing the whole time, which we were. So I didn't want to work with people that I didn't know that well, you know, where I could just be like, okay, come on, let's do the next thing. If we get to do season 2, then I would definitely love to work with more people. And I do have an idea, kind of, I'm not going to give it away, but like what you were just mentioned, totally, Jackie and I have already come up with a concept for something exactly what you're talking about.
Like bring a mariachi band or like, somebody, a Shakespearean actor from, or that gay bachelor Colton Underwood. He's a Republican, Like somebody.
Oh. Yeah, I know who he is.
Like somebody just, people be like, what is he doing there?
He's all over pride stuff too. And
oh,
it's kind of like,
terrible.
Gross. Dude, you just came out like a month ago. Can you just like give it a rest? Soak some of that in.
Well, he's got to make his money back.
I guess.
Ugh.
Well, he already had like millions of followers because he was straight on The Bachelor, right?
We missed out on a financial opportunity by coming out so early in our lives.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't straight on The Bachelor. He was just wanted to be a TV star. I mean, if people just kind of want a quick fix. I mean, no, I don't know him, so I can't have opinion about him personally, but I wouldn't want to work with him.
No, but I guess what I'm trying to figure out is like, do you feel, because Mark and I sometimes think about this, it's like if we had presented as heterosexual or neutral, like a lot of those YouTube stars, they were like totally queer. But they never talked about it. And then one day they're like, you guys, I'm really brave right now. And, I'm going to come out as LGBTQ. And I'm like, which one of the letters is you?
right.
And then people be like, you're so brave. You're America's hero. And I'm like, this queen has been, obviously out to their friends and family and their workplace. And it's only in this specific channel, And coming out is something we negotiate. It's not like...
I mean, I never question anybody's personal journey at all, ever. Except and the only time that is acceptable is if it's some stupid politician who's anti-gay but sucking dick in the toilet at the airport. That person deserves to be outed.
Oh, but you're no fun.
I know, but that's how I feel.
I mean, Sherry, were you ever in the closet?
Oh, honey, no, I never had that option. I was a big, big sissy.
I read an article that said you were chased by bats.
What?
It says bats? That drag legend Sherry Vine was chased with bats.
Like vampire bats?
Baseball bats. No, baseball bats.
I was
Candace
hoping
and I.
It'd be like the Count Dracula or something like
that. No, my God.
I want to suck your blood.
I'd be like, yes, I want to live forever. I can drink blood to live forever. No, Candace Kane and I were chased by guys with baseball bats
terrible.
In West Hollywood.
Jeez. Because the two of you came up together.
Yes. We met at a restaurant that we both worked at, and she moved in because my roommate moved out, and we were roommates and started doing drag together.
This interview just got real. We were like, vampires and fun and bad. And you're like, they almost tried to kill me.
It was
terrible.
It was terrible. I was scared. We were literally just got in the door and slammed the door. And they were like, there. It was like, okay. If we had 30 seconds longer trying to get the key in the door, that would have been it.
I think Lady Bunny said it was fans of yours and they found out there were no refunds.
That sounds like something she'd say.
She's speaking from experience.
Well, I mean, find me one gay person that hasn't almost been gay bashed, it's a
reality.
It's a reality for people, and that's part of the reason why people don't come out of the closet.
Are you kidding?
It's for safety.
Well, in a physical way, but also emotionally or career wise, there's always a cost.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has their own journey. I mean, I've been reading about, I just read an article about that. I cannot remember her name because I had no idea who she was. But she's David, like, Archuleta. 18. Not her. Okay. This 18-year-old girl who's huge on YouTube and Instagram.
Rebecca Black.
Who just came out as queer and has a girlfriend and everything. And I'm like, that I respect because, first of all, she's like 18 and she's huge. Her following is, you know, a lot of like the million moms, Christian, all of that. And she's just like, whatever, this is my truth. I'm, don't care about product placement, whatever. Mm. I think that's great.
Yeah. So are you talking about Rebecca Black, the one with the viral Friday?
I have no idea
what seat to sit in the song. And that's what, seriously, that was the lyrics of the song. And then
was that a metaphor? Is that for who her I'm sexuality? Picking up?
Maybe.
She's like, she always wears like ponytails and stuff. And she was really young when she started, and she's a huge following. It's got
to be Rebecca. She did a video where she was in a convertible, and she's singing Friday, something about Friday.
Like,
and it became a viral sensation, 7 years ago?
But she came out last April, and when you guys were doing all the COVID sitcom parodies.
Okay.
And it got lost in the shuffle because you guys were like outshining everybody on social media, you know?
If you say so. No, I'm kidding. No, it's not Rebecca Black. It's JoJo Siwa.
Sway. JoJo Sway.
Sway. Yes, sorry. Yes, JoJo yes, Sway. Yes. Sorry. I'm looking at her right now. That's why. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she's huge on YouTube.
Really big. Yeah.
Yeah. So she came out. Anyway.
All the kids these days, I think like 50% of them identify as LGBTQIA or something. They're all just like, well, maybe I'm a little bit gay, or maybe I'm a little bit this kind of thing. You know, the box has been broken down now, and you can live outside the box.
Yes, now lots of people identify as queer. Are they them? Aren't fluid? What, that's. I'm just going to say I respect everybody's journey.
Are you talking about to Jackie Beat or somebody like?
That was an odd statement. Of course, why wouldn't you respect everyone's journey?
I know. I mean, of course. I mean, because you have lots of people that say they might say it. Whatever. That are like, oh, now everybody's. There. I'm like, whatever. It.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother had a stroke and dementia, you know, and we have family members who are non-binary, gender fluid and stuff. And she's like, I don't need it. You know, she's like dismissing it. And I'm like, you were the one who for years was like very LGBTQ friendly, was talking about you yourself being, what is it?
Androgynous
was androgynous. The word. My mother loved the word androgynous and used it to describe herself. And so,
cool.
But now, you know, she's a crazy old lady, and and she's now kind of just regressed into, you know, Home Shopping Network.
Well, I was talking to a friend recently too, and they were kind of like saying, we were talking about somebody being non-binary. I'm like, well, I mean, look at yourself. You're not very binary either. You're kind of butch. And she's just like, yeah, you know, I am. You're right.
Well, I think people our age, it's just, we're not used to calling it that. We guess that me and Jackie and everybody, you know, Varla, Coco, we all fall somewhere on the non-binary spectrum, but we just didn't have words for it then. We're just like, I'm a queen, whatever.
Yeah. And gay kind of seemed a little bit more encompassing back in the day, right? Like, you could be gay and be a femmy person, but now you would be like, I'm femme, or I'm non-binary femme. Before, you would have just said, I'm gay. Sissy.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
Language changes, it evolves. So what are you doing to celebrate Pride? Because June is Pride Month, and we have all corporations vomiting rainbows all over us.
Are you eating any Oreo cookies in colors or Fritos? Or?
Oh, dear, no. I just do what I do every day of the year. I'm just kind of like, do my thing. And I am doing some corporate Pride shows online, and then I'm not doing the only in-person Pride show I'm doing this year is for Reykjavik. I'm doing Iceland Pride the first week of August. But otherwise, there's not really a lot going on in the United States in person. So I don't have anything planned.
So like when you are hired to perform for like, you know, Lockheed Martin or General Electric. They're like
Halliburton. Oh my God, I wish.
And then you
they've
come in.
They got money.
They got money, yeah. And so you come in there and you're like, here's my, I shit in my pants. Oh, no. And they're
honey,
like,
number one like thing I get. The number one thing I hear from, well, the first thing they all ask, the very first thing, and it happened last year and it's happening this year. Can you do a show that's PG? Yes, I can. So I just kind of, I don't do any of the super filthy dick sucking songs, but I can kind of do like a little bit of like Korn.
So you just safe. Stand there it's and like, stand in silence. No words come out of your mouth.
Well, this is a true story. Last year, I did a pride show for a like hedge fund company, and they were like, please, please keep it clean. Don't do anything dirty. Don't do anything dirty. Don't do dirty. And I was like, okay, don't worry. The middle of the show, he's texting me and he's like, make it dirty. Everybody's messaging me like, why isn't she being dirty? Because that's how they know me.
Yeah.
So I was like, here we go. It's going to get adult right now. So if you're easily offended,
so it was punch like Proud Mary. First you went nice and easy, then you went hard and rough.
Exactly. I always kind of managed to just kind of test the waters. It's a lot easier to do live because you can see the reaction on their faces. But you know what? Ultimately, I think some of my parodies are just so stupid that people are like, I can laugh because this is just dumb. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's wholesome family entertainment.
I'm not doing anything about fisting or your smelly dick. They're just like little poopy bathroom humor things. People like that.
Well, that's the thing, you know, like when you're performing in those Zoom comedy things, it's dead silence. And the microphones are on.
You have to have your own laugh track.
But it is sort of, you have to like provide your own laugh track, but it's canned and it's fakey sounding. And like, that's what I think why we liked so much of the things that you and Jackie were doing is because you guys were interacting with each other. And clearly you guys delight in each other's presence.
Yes, for sure. I mean, I think that definitely comes through. I mean, the funny thing is with these online shows is I tell people all the time, I'm like, honey, in my head, it's Carnegie Hall. It's sold out. They are standing on their feet, screaming and yelling. Do you know what I mean? You just have to create this fantasy because you're not getting any kind of feedback or anything at all.
For me, like sometimes I'm doing these things and I'm like, am I like pissing somebody off? You know what I'm saying? Like, and then at the end, you're like, everyone's like, that was amazing. You're so great. And I was like, why don't you laugh a little bit?
Laugh a little. Well, you just kind of have to pretend what's going on. I mean, if I do an Instagram show, I'm not looking at the number of people watching. I don't want to know if it's 30 or 300. Do you know what I mean? I'm got to pretend that it's 300 and not 30.
Well, in before the pandemic, you know, if 30 people came to see somebody's show, people would be like really impressed. That was like a packed
house. Live in person.
Yeah. And to me, it's like,
depending on the venue, 30 people.
Well, right. Right.
Mean, but a little bar, you know,
100 people to show up for a show is like a lot of people.
Yeah. And
people are like, oh, only 100 people watch my show online. I'm like, well, how many people see you in person?
Right.
And if those 100 people tip you $15 or something like that, it's probably more money. You know, I don't think like even after the pandemic, we're going back to anything like we had before.
No, I mean, I can't. No. I mean, speaking of, like, we're doing the Golden Girls here again in July, finally live on stage after a year and a half. And that show we are going to film because we've done it so many times over the past 6 years. We'd only filmed it twice. Well, we had a screening of both of those online and had like, the first one had like 1,000 people watch. So we're like, oh, we need to film all of these and do that so that people that aren't in Southern California can enjoy it.
Well, and you're working with Nadia Ginsberg and Jackie Beat, who are both, and Selena Luna, who have extensive training being in front of a camera doing comedy.
And any of those people.
So part of that is it lends itself to being videotaped, which some other live performers don't understand that you have subtle things are also important when you're filming, right? It's like your brain, it becomes a part of the acting.
Oh my God, it's such a funny story. I was doing, I don't know if you saw, there's a TV show called Station 19, which I think is a spinoff of ER. Uh-huh. And I was on it, the episode was in November. And it was the biggest thing I've ever done for like radio. It was like a guest star role. And so it was really a big deal for me. And it was me and Shangela. And the first take I did, I'm walking down the street and I have these run into these fire people and they have this conversation. The director comes up after the first take and he's like, there's no back row. And I just screamed and started laughing so hard. What he meant was like, Queen, bring it down. There's no, you don't have to reach the back row of the theater. You know what I mean? You're He's right. like, just bring it down a little bit. But I was cracking up just the way that he said that. It was so fucking funny.
But you know, you're a drag queen. You can. You were presenting as a drag queen on the street.
Oh yeah, I was in full Sherry Vine drag. Mm.
How many episodes of the variety show are there going to be?
There are six. The fourth one came out today, so we've got two more every Tuesday. And today's special guest star is Peppermint, but Jackie B and Bianca are the only two people that are in every single episode. And then Tammy Brown is in it, and Peppermint's a special guest, and Mario and Nadia are both in it. And then next week, episode five is the one I'm most, not nervous, but anxious about, because I wanted to do something completely different. So we kind of shatter the variety show format. So it's like we all show up for work. We're ready to start working on the variety show and we discover a murdered body and it turns into a total Scooby-Doo murder mystery homage to famous death scenes from horror films. It's just like insane. And that's all I want to say about it. But it's so very completely different that I'm really nervous of like, oh my God, are people going to like this?
I like the idea that you guys are pulling the genre or the expectations apart, because I think that's what kind of drag does really, really well, is deconstruct something that we love and make us love it even more because we're seeing like the mechanisms behind it.
I hope so. I mean, I think that people watching all of them that... Mm-hmm. They're now, after the fourth one this week, they're kind of like, oh, this is the format. It opens with a song. We have a sketch. We have the interview. Goodbye. And so they're just going to be kind of like watching the one next week, like, what the fuck is going on? I hope. But loving it. And then the last episode, which is Candace Kane, the special guest, we're back to the format.
Oh, I love Candace and Star Booty.
Oh my God, right? I wish I never nice understood why outfit. Rue didn't.
You look like why, a whore as usual.
I don't know why Rue didn't kind of really do something with that character.
Well, she, you know, I think that's the first time we met Rue, as we interviewed her about Star Booty, and then she came to town to show it at the LGBT film festival. And, you know, it was sold out in the theater and people loved it.
Well, it was interesting because Rue was kind of like, I don't know if I have a future in this thing. And she's like, this is kind of like my retirement piece. And, you know, I think at the time she already was comfortable financially, maybe. We don't know. But she acted like she really could take it or leave it. And even when we went to the meet and greet afterwards, there were probably 30 people there.
Yeah.
All interested in the open bar and the buffet and not RuPaul.
RuPaul sat behind a velvet rope on a stool, and like one or two people went over to talk to her. And I thought to myself,
really?
And so I always remember that whenever like we have highs or lows with this podcast, or I tell that to people who in, you know, show business like ourselves, you know, that you can be like, nobody's paying attention to you in this whole room, but then you can have a runaway hit like RuPaul's Drag Race later. So
when I said to her, it's like, honey, don't give up.
Please, of course. Yeah. Of course, I've been doing this for 30 years, so I completely understand that concept of ups and downs. Jackie came over yesterday because we had a rehearsal for Golden Girls, and then she was like, oh, let's go to lunch. I'm like, no, I got shit to do. And I was like on the computer, and she was like, okay. And, you know, I said, look, honey, I've got to like keep this momentum going because you know how it is. In 2 months, I might be like, oh, I don't have anything to do. So strike while it's hot and keep those wheels turning.
It does. I do remember it being very strange when I told RuPaul not to give up. This really did happen. Like, we had a conversation about it.
I said, really?
Yeah. I said, it's like, listen, you've meant so much to so many people. You've really changed the world. Don't give up. You know, you have your posse together again, doing Star Booty. Mm-hmm. Just do other projects with them. You know, like, I mean, there's a reason why the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race looks like Star Booty, because it was like the same production team
with like Mike Ruiz,
right?
And Mike Ruiz was very much involved in it, and both Rue and Mike Ruiz love Vaseline on the lens. And
Rue didn't get all the filler yet.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, yeah.
I mean, and she was in drag in the workroom, interacting with the other contestants in drag.
She was. Right.
Oh
she
yeah. Was, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's, I've told you that story of, I said that to Lady Gaga the first time I met her.
What'd you say?
Don't give up. Good luck, honey. Good luck with that. I was DJing at this bar on Avenue C, this tiny bar, it's the size of my living room, on Avenue C. And this girl comes in complete drag with two other girl backup dancers. She's like, can I perform? Will you play this song? And I can perform. It's my new song. I promise you're going to love it. I was like,
oh boy.
Sure, honey. Why not?
Did she tip
you? So it was Gaga. They did Just Dance. She was literally bar hopping, asking if she could perform it for free. Never heard of her. And I was like, of course. And she's like, oh, I love you. And da 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 da. And we were hanging out. And she gave me a signed copy of the record. And I was like, oh, thanks. And I was like, good luck with that, honey.
Well, I got one better for you. She was in town as Stephanie with an I at the end. And she was pitched to come into the home studio to perform
her cabaret act.
Her cabaret act. And we're like, nah.
Because we had just gotten some emails from people, because we had had some, you know, gay people love their cabarets, right? And so the cabarets in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s were very popular. And so we started the podcast in 2005. So we had some cabaret artists come on, but, you know, they weren't necessarily the best guests to have on. So we had some people be like, oh, don't have that person on again. So we're just like, I don't know if we can have another cabaret artist.
We were saturated and we were overwhelmed with it. And we're just like, not one more of these, you know, terrible schmaltzy
cabaret artists.
I was like, no, next.
This is before the Gaga persona.
Yes.
You know,
this is when she was a brunette.
Yeah.
Totally get it. Yeah. Well, this was like literally, she had just kind of created, I mean, I'm not kidding, she's walking up and down the streets of the East Village, just popping into bars to perform it. That, I love that kind of dedication.
But that's the thing about, you know, somebody like her, and we can all remember, is that she was willing to put, you know, she was willing to put herself in a situation that was very uncertain, where she would be, could be humiliated, not accepted, not loved. Because she saw the bigger picture down the road, and she believed in what she had to give was ultimately good.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to get these homos hooked, and then the world will be mine.
And put on that meat dress.
To her credit, she recognizes that the people who responded to her best and first. And because the next time I saw her, she had invited me to her show at Madison Square Garden. So I was like, okay, from Avenue C living room, little tiny bar, to Madison Square Garden. That's, you know, she was super cool. And I do love that about her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, drag changed for the better, too, as a result of her success. You know, drag queens, when we first met you, they were all like, I want to be pretty. I want to be, you know, I'm a glamour icon. I'm a female illusionist. And then, you know, Drag Race and Lady Gaga came along, and everyone's like, I can't, I'm a meat dress. I'm putting a turkey on my tits.
Well, she changed fashion for most recording artists too, you know? I mean,
for sure.
When you think like under the Bush regime, when you look at what people dressed like in the early 2000s when you're a pop star, and then after her, I mean, complete change.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And she was just drag over the top and whatever. She's amazing.
Well, that's, you know, culture is a conversation. And, you know, it's like, even like the lesbian pride flag, it was based on a flag, the lipstick lesbian cougar pride flag that we designed for this podcast. And so every time I go out to public and see the lesbian pride flag, I have to rub my eyes, because it's like, I never in a million years thought that that would catch on and become a thing.
Oh, I love that.
And so, you know, it's like we never realize the power that our words or actions or art has on the world. And you never realize who's listening and who's being influenced and vice versa.
Like, Sherry, you have probably inspired all these little gabies out there. They're like, what can I do with poop? What can I do with
how can my I dress job and drag is done.
And get some good dick?
Well, I've got a lot of the girls on the hookup app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is a good hookup app to use?
For a
pretty lady.
For a pretty lady.
For
such as
ladies. I'm on one called Badoo, B-A-D-O-O, and it's a dating app. Mm.
B-A-D-O-O?
Uh-huh.
Like doo-doo?
Badoo, B-A-D-O-O, Badoo.
Badoo. Sounds like Badoo. A vampire's
and
last name.
And that's usually men looking for pretty ladies, such as yourself.
It's quite popular with that population.
Why? Well, you know, Grindr and Scruff also have a lot of, female presenting people on it these days as well.
Yeah, I know some queens in New York that are hooking up with straight identifying men through Grindr, but I'm not going to go on Grindr. I feel like people, either the gay guys all like know who I am or whatever. I'm just like not going to bother. And there's so many people in Badoo, like you had never heard of it. Perfect.
Well, now they do.
They're all like, now they share. Do.
But I remember like the heyday of when all those dating apps started popping up and they were like pouring, you know, thousands of dollars onto Rue Girl's pockets to try to get them to endorse it, you know, and some of them were really poorly conceived.
How so?
Just that, you know, it was like, look, you know, I love Willem. I think he's a great entertainer, beautiful drag queen, but it's not a selling point to be like, Willem's going to be there, you know, on this app. And you're like, is he going to make fun of me?
Yeah, people are scared.
Yeah. You know, that's the part of the thing about it is like, you know, these Rue Girls have been such a compelling marketing tool for so many people, but you know there is a limit to what you can do with it too.
Well, and also too, it's you know, it's like, you know, as gay guys, we're not sexualizing a drag queen, whereas like a teenage girl does.
Yeah,
you know, they're hot for these
isn't
girls.
That crazy how much it's changed. Yeah.
And they're like,
and you guys, have you gone to drag con ever?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all 15
and they're wanting
year old
like
girls.
You know their boobs signed in lipstick and stuff and like these kids, well, kids, you know, college age students.
Well, I mean they're 13, 14 year old kids there,
and they get cheeky with these queens, and like the security guards are like, "Ma'am, you got to move along."
I'm always like when drag shows, the audience, like at some drag shows, which all of a sudden was like, why are there all these bachelorette parties and stuff? Which was like, great, this is fun. But I was like, when did drag replace Chippendales? You know what I mean?
Well, it's the lipstick that makes them horny. It's a smell.
Well, their drag shows are kind of more fun, you know, and not as sexualized like than a Chippendales.
What
show.
Glitters isn't gold, but it's still shiny.
It still shines. I love opening for Bianca and doing these tours because it exposes me to a world of an audience that, you know, those people would have no idea, way of knowing who I am because I'm not on Drag Race. And so it's, you know, every show that I do with her, the next day, the Instagram's jumped 1,000. It's like, oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, and they're like, be on TV.
Wow, Bianca is really talented.
Aren't you lucky to be touring with Bianca?
Bianca's so great. What's she like?
Oh, I'm opening for her in Chicago.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Get us on the guest list.
Message me closer to the date. Absolutely. I know one show is already sold out, that the one with Wendy Ho, so they added another one later, which is then the part of the tour that I'm doing. So we're both, Wendy and I are both doing a Chicago show.
She's great.
Amazing. Are you kidding?
What a sweetheart. Like, you know, like she kind of has this like bad girl's gonna steal your purse kind of thing attitude, but behind the scenes, like she's one of the loveliest and kindest.
Oh my god, please. Yeah. I worship her. And then I'm always like, here's someone who can actually really sing and still chooses to sing about sucking dick. Fucking worship her.
Yeah, there, what is that song that she does that every drag queen loves to lip sync?
It's the I don't care. Yes. Fuck me. Just fuck me if you can.
Yeah.
Fuck me on an aeroplane. Oh, yeah. She's.
You can fuck me on an aeroplane.
That one.
Yeah.
That's probably the most done song by other queens.
Yeah. It's like she don't even have to show up.
Well, I'm sorry. Have you ever seen that the Pussycat song that Lady Bunny sings on YouTube? she has a digital watermark on it. Like she'll be singing about like black my fat pussy, but yeah, and then it goes Lady Bunny because she's just I put it in there so the people won't steal the song and perform it.
I remember I had a conversation with her about that because she called me and she's like, do you watermark your stuff like shit my pants? Because I see queens do it all the time. And aren't you afraid they're not going to book you? And I'm like, I love the fact that other queens do it. I think, first of all, it's such a compliment. Second of all, no, I don't kind of feel that way. It's like, whatever.
They're going to book you. They're going to book you, you know?
Right, but I get where Bunny's coming from. I do get that.
But you want booking people and the public to think of you as the premium vodka and not the bargain basement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think top shelf.
I think queens just lip sync it with the watermark in it. I think it makes it funnier.
Actually, that's hilarious. Because
Bunny, Bunny, just start choking yourself.
Yeah, the only time you'll ever hear the word top used in association with my name.
Top shelf. Sherry Vine. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today.
Top, oh my God, thank you guys. You guys, Sherry Vine. You guys have been very supportive for, God, a decade. Because I remember doing the first time I did your podcast in Chicago. I came to your house in Chicago, and I think I was there right after Shit My Pants came out. So it was like 2010.
Yeah. And then you shat in your pants.
I think you came in. And then
I shat in your pants.
I feel like you came in drag.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, had sex afterwards.
Oh, my God. I wish.
It was so. You're such a tender lover.
But, you know, we're on our 16th. We're on our 17th season here at Feast of Fun.
Wow.
16 years.
Crazy.
3,000 shows
coming up.
I'm like, there are 3,000 children.
Yes.
Ryan, one of our children's, one of the listeners who was a child when he started listening to this podcast, is now grown up and married.
And like 30-some years old.
And he works for like the airport.
Yeah, he works for an airport.
And so they were interviewing like, you know, their LGBTQ employees as part of Pride Month. And he's like, I grew up listening to Feast of Fun. And I consider Mark and Fausto like my gay dads. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so glad I didn't ruin a child for life.
That's amazing, though. Congratulations, you guys. No, you've always been so supportive, and I appreciate it. And seriously,
same to you.
I would love to see you in Chicago when I'm there.
Absolutely. If you can get us in. If you don't have to. We'll just hang out outside and
we'll meet you at the stage door.
Yeah, and be like, remember me? I'm one of your biggest fans.
Really prove it.
Well, here's a t-shirt I bought from you 20 years ago. 25 years? Was it 30 years ago?
Because I think you're at the Vic Theater, right?
Yeah, that's a great venue.
That is a great theater. And, you know, if you can get us box seats, it's better.
God, she's so demanding.
We got box seats for
Sasha Velour's show.
Sasha Velour and the drag queens.
We didn't know we were getting box seats, and we're the only ones in there. And so, like all these, you know, some Chicago drag queens really resent us.
Well,
you know what I mean?
It was a box seat that was supposed to have other media people or celebrities in it. And of course, it's Sasha Velour, so nobody showed up.
Except for us. Except for our fans.
No, but we were the only people that were in the VIP section, and we're like sitting there awkwardly watching the show from a beautiful vantage point, you know, very generous staff.
Yes.
And we were having a fantastic time, and I looked down on the audience there, and there were some people who since then have been canceled.
Yes.
Looking up at us.
Majorly canceled.
Majorly canceled.
Oh.
And they were looks with anger.
Did you ever watch anger in their eyes. You ever watch the movie Dangerous Liaisons with Glenn Close?
Of course.
Do you remember that end scene when she comes out into the box seat and then all those people are booing
just
her?
Just a little stumble. Yeah.
Like, I was halfway expecting that. I was kind of disappointed it didn't happen.
Ooh, well, when you stop recording, I want the full story.
Oh, I can tell you the whole story.
We'll tell you the story afterwards. People in Chicago, they know who we're talking about. Yeah. That's for sure. Okay. I mean, I've never seen a queen. Canceled as hard as Sherry Pye's canceled.
Oh, dear.
I was like, for a second, Sherry Vine's not canceled.
No, Sherry Vine is everywhere now. Yes. Well, Out TV.
Out TV, Apple TV, Fruit TV.
Anywhere there's gay stuff happening, Sherry Vine's in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. And you have a great Pride and good luck with the television series.
Thank you guys so much. Love you both. And big kisses.
Big kisses to you.
Bye.
Sherry Vine lives in Hollywood.
Burbank, California, where it's 99 degrees today, but it's not humid, so it's okay.
You know, the thing I love about Sherry's work is that it harkens back to this golden age of television, like Match Game. Mm-hmm. Password, those game shows and those variety shows where these really amazing, talented legends started interacting with each other on a really deep level. And we've all been fans of Nadia Ginsburg, of Jackie Beat, of Selena Luna, Mario Diaz, and
Sherry Del Rio.
But to see them kind of interacting in this like really heightened way in the Sherry Vine variety show is something that doesn't always happen and worth the $3 that you're going to spend to watch it.
And we queers need something like this for sure.
Honey, right now, this has been a rough year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's going to be tough.
Been hard.
It has been brutal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sherry Vines might make you feel worse.
Or better.
But it's like medicine.
Yeah.
With sugar, you know? A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
And I want to remind folks, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastofun.com/plus because your membership is what makes this podcast happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to people like Sherry Vine over the years if it weren't for you, the audience who listens to this program.
You can listen to thousands of legendary shows in our archives, and you can access them only exclusively at feastofun.com/plus. Because it's going to, and you know, you can hear Sherry Vine talking about her sex life in graphic detail.
In Berlin,
in Germany, in past shows. You know, Sherry Vine does not hold back. And that's why you guys love and listen to Feast of Fun, because we're willing to go on that adventure with our guests. We're willing to bear it all and give you the mouth-watering, juicy details. That's why we call it Feast of Fun, because it's going to satiate your appetite for entertainment. But, you know, leave you wanting a little bit more. So check out the Sherry Vine Variety Show.